Now today we're going to continue shifting gears. We're going to continue in this series. It's actually our final, second to final week on hearing from God. And I'm very excited about the message today. I'm going to be speaking about a transformative practice for me called Sabbath. Now, my wife and I lived in Chicago for about 12 years. And about 10 years ago, we bought our first house. And we were pretty house broke when we bought this house. But we were so excited. You know, if you bought your first house, how you're thinking about decorating and you buy the different things and you set everything up. But one of the things we did was we scrounged together what little money we had left because we were pretty house broke. And we decided we were going to get these flowers. I remember it was around May 8th, May 9th, we bought these flowers. We bought these potters for the front porch. We even bought these little window boxes where we could plant flowers. We put them around our trees, and we were so ecstatic. We took pictures to celebrate us with these flowers. And then I kid you not, I don't remember many dates. I remember our wedding date, and I remember May 16th because it snowed on May 16th in Chicago. Killed all of our flowers. And I remember calling my wife and going, if Jesus doesn't show up today, I'm going to be pissed off all day, all right? And he didn't. And I felt justified in my anger because ultimately everything we had bought was killed in that moment. Now, when we lived in Chicago, the one thing we never got used to was the snow. In fact, there was only a couple times, but if you've ever been in the Midwest or Canada, they have these things called whiteouts that are ultimately so bad. It's like a blizzard and a flurry that you can't even see a few feet in front of you. In fact, I was reading about in the late 1800s and the 1900s, some farmers in the Midwest, when they had blizzards and flurries, they would ultimately, after a while, leave their house, go to the barn to try to get some resources like, you know, gas or food or more firewood. And in some cases, with these whiteouts and these blizzards, they would get lost and they would end up dying 10 feet from their home, literally 10 feet from their home. And so it became a common practice. In fact, if you visit certain parts of Canada today, if there's a bad blizzard, they will still to this day tie a rope around their waist as they leave their home and go to the barn to get certain resources, food, gas, firewood, whatever it is, because it's a way for them to make sure they return to their home and their destination. And the reason I tell you this is we live in a culture with a flurry and a blizzard of activities. And ultimately, for many of us, even today, as you sit in this seat, there's a part of your mind that probably is racing with things that need to be done, things that are happening tonight, tasks to check off. In fact, one of the most common complaints I hear from people is, I'm struggling to hear from God because even as I sit down in my office, my mind is constantly racing with a blizzard and a flurry of activities. Do you find yourself in a place where you can really hear from God? Because here's what I want to suggest to you today. It's possible to come to church. It's possible to open up your Bible on a weekly basis and spiritually speaking, still die 10 feet from the church. To be connected in such a way that you're around the activity of God, you're even around the presence of God, but your soul is tired, you're exhausted, and you can't enter into the presence of God. And so we have to learn how to engage in spiritual practices and rhythms that in the crazy flurry of activities allow us to be tied to the presence of God, his purposes, and his spirit. Thus, I want to speak to you about this spiritual practice, this rhythm that I believe can be a tool in your arsenal of helping you stay in tune with the presence of God. In fact, I've been working at a church for around 20 years. And for majority of those years, I just found myself constantly exhausted, weary, fatigued, worn out, a loss of creativity. You know, when you're really tired, even your intellect seems to dip a bit. You just can't pay attention. You can't focus. I had a loss of optimism. But what was interesting is there was good things happening on the outside. So I just thought for years, this is what happens. You just run yourself ragged. You get used to living exhausted and fatigued, and this is kind of it. And I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, something shifted where I learned in the flurry of activities, even in the church, to stay tied and in tune with the purpose and the presence of the Spirit. And I would tell you there's probably a variety of different things, like there are different diets or different workout rhythms. There's probably a variety of different things people engage with. I want to show you just three that have transformed my ability to stay tied and connected to God. First, you'll see them behind me. There's nothing revolutionary about these. First is just daily time with God. The ancient writers called this daily office, just learning to pray, read. Maybe throughout the day at lunch, you take a quick 5-minute break to try to pray and center yourself. The other is fasting once a week. No one loves fasting, but for me, fasting is really more about feasting. I take the physical hunger I feel once a week, and I ask the Holy Spirit to increase my appetite for Him, to arouse my passion and my excitement for Him. And the same way I'm desiring food, I believe it's possible to desire your spirit, and that's been transformative for me. But maybe the most impactful has been this idea of Sabbath, this idea of slowing down, breaking away. And today I want to speak to you about this idea of Sabbath. A lot of us have grown up in the church where that word is used. A lot of us don't know what it is. We don't know how to do it. We don't even know if we're doing it right. We don't even know if we're supposed to do it. So I want to just help you unpack this rhythm, because Sabbath is about positioning yourself to learn how to hear from God. Now, to do this, I want to look at Exodus 16. If you have your Bibles, you can open up your Bibles. I'm going to be in Exodus 16. I want to look at one verse in Genesis, then I'm going to return to Exodus 16 to help us unpack this idea of Sabbath. But in Exodus chapter 16, you got to know the backstory here. Ultimately, the people of God, the Israelites, they've left actually slavery from Egypt. They've been enslaved by Pharaoh. And now they're in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. And part of the reason they are wandering isn't just because they're waiting physically to get to the promised land. God is forming them to become the people of God. He is trying to form them in the image of God. He is trying to get them in the rhythms of the kingdom so ultimately they can live in this world, but be tethered to the kingdom of God. He's trying to get them to live counterculturally so that they can be the people of God. Ultimately, part of what this is you have to be with God so that you can become like God, so that you can do what God did. Ultimately, we do that a lot of times the opposite. We try to do what God does, do what Jesus does, worn out, empty, and fatigued. So he's trying to form something in them as they're in the wilderness. And so for 40 years, they're wandering. They're actually in the middle of the wilderness. Amazing what God does in his provision and his power. He actually rains down manna, which I've told you before is the Hebrew word for Chick-fil-A. He is raining down Chick-fil-A from heaven. And so literally, he's raining down this bread-like substance. And what's interesting is this is where the Israelites find themselves. God's providing. Listen to what it says, Exodus 16, 21, with that backstory. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. When the sun grew hot, it, being manna, melted away. The sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. Leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded." Notice this. "Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, keep it till morning." So again, the people of God, each day they're supposed to take what God has given them, except for on the sixth day. They're together twice as much. Why? Because God is trying to form this habit, this practice, this rhythm of Sabbath rest. Now, he's trying to, again, get the Israelites to learn how to stay connected to him. And so this is one of the first times Sabbath is really mentioned and ingrained in the people of God. Now, let me just give you a definition, because a lot of people don't even know what the definition of is of Sabbath. But I think when you talk about Sabbath, according to what Exodus 16 is saying, it is a day to delight in physical rest and spiritual replenishment. It is learning about delight and physical rest, spiritual replenishment. And you have to have both of these things and really delight mixed in that, because here's the deal. A lot of us are fatigued, exhausted, worn out, and weary. And if I could give you 30 days on a tropical island of your choice, and you could feel the sunlight on your face, you could slow down, you could turn off your computer, you could disengage from your phone, you could sleep in and just be present, if that's all you did was physically rest, why is it that you would still come back tired and exhausted? Because you have not spiritually been filled up. You have not learned to go to the source of life, which is Jesus and the Spirit. On the flip side, If all you do is go, 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 and you spend time, countless time, in just doing the activity spiritually, trying to stay in tune with the Spirit, but you do not physically rest, why is it that you will have a loss of energy, optimism, a loss of creativity, and ultimately, even in some cases, your intellect will go down because you're so physically exhausted? See, Sabbath is about delighting. It's about physical rest and spiritual replenishment. You have to have both. In fact, for years, I missed this. I am a go-getter. I love work. I mean, I just find myself as a workaholic. No joke. I know a lot of you pray different things in your life. You know, you prayed to be rich, or you prayed for favor. Maybe you prayed more spiritual things. There was a season of my life for over a year. Do you know what I prayed? I prayed that the Holy Spirit would make it where my body doesn't need to sleep. I prayed that I wouldn't have to rest at all. And ultimately, I was just going, you can raise people from the grave. Make it where I don't have to sleep. And for 3 years, I drank this trash right here every single day. I drank like three of those, one to three, for 3 years straight. It was awesome. I mean, I got like a jolt of energy. I mean, I grew a third arm, right? But it's just ultimately like this part of me that couldn't grasp rest, so I'm just drinking this stuff. I mean, it's safe to say, folks, I'm gonna die early after consuming that much stuff, right? But it's like I couldn't grasp this concept of rest. It just seemed like that's what people do who can't build and can't go. And I mean, it's terrible to say, but that's just what I thought. And then I slowed down and learned this rhythm of rest. See, can I just say this? Sabbath is about physical rest, and it's also a time of spiritual replenishment. Sabbath is about slowing down and feeling the sunlight on your face. Sabbath is about eating your food and actually tasting your food. Do you ever go to eat dinner and for whatever reason you've been going so hard and so fast that even as you eat, your body is tense? Your fingers are curled, your toes are curled, because even as you eat, there's a part of you that you have not learned to enter into this rhythm of peace and freedom. Jesus might be a lot of things, but to you, you've yet to find this pace and this rhythm that Jesus can give you a new life. Sabbath is about ultimately learning to be present with the people that are around you. It is one thing to spend time with people. It's another thing to be present with those people. And ultimately, a lot of us, we are tethered to our phones, and the only thing you will not get back is today. And so many people, when I speak to them about the end of their life and what they regret, do you know what most of them regret? They weren't present with the people they were around. Their minds were always racing about some activity or some task or some accomplishment or some work thing or all the activities that need to be done for the trick-or-treaters tonight, that ultimately they have not learned how to be present with the people that God has placed with you. Sabbath is also about learning to slow down and appreciate every good gift you've been given. We live in a culture that tells you what? You do not have enough. Most of us are driven by this consumeristic appetite where we need more, we have to have more, we see what everyone else has. But Sabbath is about slowing down and learning this practice that Paul called of contentment, where you slow down and you actually see the great gifts you have, spiritual gifts, life in Jesus, but also the physical gifts. When's the last time gratitude and delight were a part of your rhythm? See, that is the invitation to Sabbath. Even a month ago, it shocked me. I'm always thinking about the things that have not been done in my house, the holes that I've not patched on the wall, or different paint I haven't fixed in that one spot. And about a month ago, I was sitting on my couch during Sabbath, and I just started going, God, you gave me this house. What a gift this house is. And it shocked me because that is not something I normally do. Sabbath is about learning contentment. In fact, Sabbath, its definition in Hebrew means this. You'll see it behind me. It actually means to stop and to cease. Sabbath is about positioning yourself to hear from God. Let me read this over you. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this, by the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Notice that word rested. Then it says, God blessed the seventh day, and notice what he did. When he blessed it, he made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. That word rested is the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to cease or to stop. And the moment you speak about Sabbath, people go, you know what, like, I'm just a people person. The idea of slowing down, physical rest, and kind of breaking away is impossible. But notice what it says, God rested. Some people go, you know what, like I'm too type A, I can't even shut off my mind, I can't be alone for a second. Notice what it says, God rested. Some people, even as I speak this, it's like your spirit's like, that's easy for you to say, but you know what? Both of us work. Our kids are traveling. There's activities. I got all these demands. But let me just go back to the scriptures. God rested. Now, God was not weary or fatigued or worn out like we are. It's quite different for him. He rested because he was learning to celebrate, not learning. He was celebrating and delighting. For us, it is about physical rest, and it's about spiritual replenishment. But I want to show you something that's fascinating. So in the Genesis creation account, there's actually 7 days, if you take that creation account. God creates on six, he rests on seven. Do you know that in those 7 days, God blesses three things? Blesses three things. So the first thing he blesses is actually animals. And it says that he blessed them and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. Then actually God blesses people and he calls them to be fruitful and multiply. Very interesting, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God blesses a day. What's God up to? Why a particular day? At the very beginning of Scripture, what is God trying to instill in his followers and the people of God? What rhythm is he trying to get us to understand? Interesting enough, those first two are about physical life. It's about populating and an expansion. But this third rhythm, this Sabbath rhythm, is about soul life. Because it's one thing to be alive on the outside, dead on the inside. God was trying to create this rhythm where we're not just a human doing, but we have learned to be in the presence of God. We have learned to delight. We have learned to celebrate. We have learned to breathe. We have learned to be connected and filled up. God does not want you to grind it out for the next 40 years. Jesus said that he has come to give life and give it to the full. That is not one day when you meet God in heaven. Sure, there'll be more of it. But it is possible to live in such a way that you experience the blessing and the fullness of Jesus. Now, I do not want to make this seem easy. The moment I talk about this, most people would not be going, you know what, like, just pretty good, Brian. Thanks for the invitation of Sabbath rest. My soul's pretty filled up. I don't need anything. Most of us would be going, that sounds great. But the problem is, the moment you talk about Sabbath, it is incredibly difficult to get it into your rhythm, to be formed in this process of Sabbath. In fact, let me just go back to Exodus 16. God introduces the Israelites to this practice of helping them be formed to learn physical rest, to learn life in the kingdom. And notice what it says the moment he gives them this practice in Exodus 16:27. It's about five verses later, it says this, nevertheless, which is not a good start. He gives them this practice. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind, the Lord has given you Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are. On the seventh day, no one is to go out. The Israelites couldn't get it. Keep in mind, their past is they were literally enslaved in that culture. They had deadlines to meet. They had demands. They had agendas. They had requirements. They had tasks to be done. They had people to manage. They had a bunch of stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, God stops them, and they cannot get that rhythm. Now, most of us, if we're really honest, way different, but most of us, if we slow down and admit it enough, most of us are physically and emotionally and spiritually enslaved to the culture of achievement and accomplishment. Most of us are enslaved to our phones. Even as we sit down, it is like we feel like we want to accomplish and achieve, and this idea of unwinding and sitting and breathing is just so foreign to us. But I want to say, if you stick with this practice, it could be one of God's greatest gifts for your life. For years, I struggled with being a workaholic. I found my identity in work. I mean, I couldn't stop. And even the idea of Sabbath, when people preach that, I mean, I was really resistant to it because it just seemed like there was so much to be done and there was so much opportunity that slowing down, sitting, it was just not in my rhythm. And I have to tell you this, there was a moment, we've been practicing Sabbath as a family for about 4 or 5 years. And there was a moment when I was in my yard with my sweet twin girls and my son, my wife, we're in the front yard. And, you know, we're trying to just be present with one another. It's Sabbath, which is our Friday. And ultimately, we're just trying to find ways to have fun. So I kind of snuck around to the garage, and I got this leaf blower. And then I snuck up to my 2-year-old daughter, Selah, and I called her name, and then all of a sudden she turned around, and right when she turned around, I mean, I went full blast like this right on her. And it was pretty much like your face. She didn't know whether to laugh or cry. And so ultimately, it was that, you know, if it's a parent, you've seen this. It's like if they run into something or they do something funny, it's like that silent pause where you're like, this is either going to be great or bad. And ultimately, she just starts belly laughing. I mean, her eyes get big, and she's like, and then the other one, Gray, goes, mine. And she, that's basically do me too. So, and I go up to her, and I go, and I'm doing this in the front lawn, and my son does this, and literally for about 10 or 15 minutes, we're in the front yard, and I'm just, like, the kids are running up, they're trying to sneak up on me, and I'm just like, you know, I'm just having this heyday for 15 minutes. This is amazing, by the way. All of you who are asleep, you're now like, what's happening? Just have to go, this is the presence of God breathing on you when you fall asleep in my sermon, all right? But here's the deal. I'm using this blower, and usually I'm a guy who's so cognizant of what the neighbors think and don't be that guy, you know, whatever. It hits me for 15 minutes. I'm like a madman in the lawn just running up to my kids doing this number right here, you know? And I'm like, the neighbors are going to be like, this is where they call child services, right? It's like, what's happening in the front yard? For 15 minutes, my wife and I are laughing. And I literally just have this blower, and it hits me all of a sudden. I'm me. I'm who God has made me to be. I'm not distracted or caring what the neighbors think. I'm not tethered to accomplishment. It's just like that was the kingdom. The fullness of God in that moment with a simple leaf blower. It's amazing to me, if you have a toothache or if you have a pain, what you will get used to living with. For years, I got used to living worn out, exhausted, fatigued, thinking this is what people do. They die, and one day they get to go be with Jesus, but the kingdom doesn't really bring peace now. And a leaf blower on Sabbath reminded me that the kingdom of God is not somewhere out there waiting to be found. It's an invitation and a rhythm to be tethered to his presence. I was asking the Holy Spirit this last night. This might be for a couple of you in the room. I was walking around my neighborhood, and I just asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to speak tomorrow? And I felt as clearly as I could, oftentimes the way the Holy Spirit speaks to me is I speak about a whisper, because it's usually just the thought that sometimes can feel like it's my thought. If I'm not careful, it just kind of passes by. It's not some cloud parting. It's just the thought that enters my mind. And I felt like in a church where there's great Bible literacy, like we know the scriptures, most of you have grown up in the church, I felt like there, it's like the Father's heart that was saying to me, there's some people that know in their head that I love them, but it is not transferred to their heart. It's like they know and they can sing songs, but even as you sit in this room, you find so much your identity in what you do. It's funny, 6 days a week, that's how culture creates your identity. It's what you do. It's what you accomplish. So that's why so many people are so tied to their bank accounts, or they're tied to their accolades or their accomplishments. That's why slowing down is hard. Even for people with kids, it's like you ever wonder why there's so much pressure you're putting on your kids to succeed? Because ultimately, we want this sense of accomplishment. And we want to feel like our lives have mattered. But it is interesting that God's gift to the church, to the people of God, was not to do more stuff. It was to actually slow down and do nothing, because your identity in the culture is what you do. Your identity in the kingdom is who you are. Maybe the best thing I can do with this sermon is just remind you, you are a beloved child of God who has identity and purpose, and you're not just forgiven. Like the righteousness of Jesus lives in you. The righteousness, the fullness, the weight. I'm not asking, do you believe in Jesus? I'm not asking, do you serve him? I'm asking, has it moved from here to there? Because maybe God's gift for you is to first remind you of that, and then second, to create rhythms and habits where your family can enter in, where you can slow down and realize who you are in Jesus. Our family loves Sabbath. In fact, Sabbath for us is Friday. We don't have a huge agenda. We spend time going on walks, we try to eat good food, we talk. We leave our phones on the charger as much as we can. We breathe. We celebrate. Our son loves Sabbath. In fact, he asked about Sabbath. He doesn't call it Sabbath. He calls it slumber party. Because we let him stay up late, and he gets to sleep in our bed, which was great when he was two. It's getting weird when he's seven now, but one day we'll figure that practice out. But it's just a day for us to slow down and find this rhythm. Maybe for some of us, it's time to admit that 24/7 isn't working anymore, and it's time to step into the gift of what God gave in Genesis chapter 2 of 24/6 living. Maybe God's gift to flourish your soul is to move from 24/7 living to 24/6 living. Sabbath is about positioning yourself to hear from God. Think about it. Sabbath is so important, it made God's top 10. It's in the Ten Commandments. God cares about Sabbath, and when you don't keep it, there are consequences. We become emotionally unhealthy, fatigued, worried, stressed. Our creativity goes down. Our intellect goes down. We can become burned out, negative, weary, and discouraged. Sabbath is about positioning yourself to hear from God. I just want to show you this because if you're maybe feeling like the Holy Spirit's awakening you, might be going just, okay, help me with this Sabbath rhythm. I just want to tell you three things. This is the practical stuff that will help you. First, you have to pick a time. Pick a time. For a lot of people, Sunday is a great time. You come to church, it helps you stay spiritually replenished, and then you physically rest, you hang out with your family, you do whatever it is, you make sure that you're slowing down, you delight. But here's the next part, is prepare a rhythm. I'll just show you mine, because you might be going, wait, you told me to do nothing, why are you preparing a rhythm? Because if you show up on Sabbath and all week you've been going, if you don't have somewhat of a mental plan, even if your mental plan is doing very little, you will find yourself just filling in the void. So we've created this rhythm for us. It's like diets, there is no perfect rhythm. It's just about spiritual replenishment and physical rest. So I just put on there, that's literally my list. Coffee, sit for 15 minutes, I just breathe because you've been going and moving and just trying to slow down and be present. Spend time with God. I run and listen to sermons. I run for about 30 minutes. It's the least unimpressive mile and a half ever, but that's just my time where I tune into the presence of God. And then also spend time with Steph. We just talk, and sometimes we go and we, walk around the neighborhood. Sometimes we go eat good food. It's just whatever that day holds. We just kind of plan to be present with one another. Afternoon, time with kids. It can be a variety of different things. Night, we pick up good food. We talk about it on Thursday, what we're going to eat on Sabbath to delight and just engage with one another. I sometimes go on prayer walks. Sometimes I just walk with no agenda. I just try to walk and look at things. It's amazing when you slow down, things you notice in your neighborhood you've never even seen before. Because you're always busy going. I just try to be present. Ultimately, sometimes it's dessert or a movie or a board game. These are just our rhythms. You can pick your own. But here's the most important part I can say about this. You have to protect and value that rhythm. Even this last couple weeks, I had some home projects I was doing, and I thought to myself, I need a weekend. I got to violate Sabbath. The other day, you can go ahead and judge away, I started putting up Christmas decorations, all right? And you know what? The reason I did that, thank you, I appreciate that. You know what? I felt like I should do that because it's way better than Halloween and Thanksgiving. I'm just trying to celebrate our Savior's birth, all right? Judge away. But I'm literally just doing these things. You know what? I start saying to myself, there's no time. I need 2 or 3 days. I start trying to violate Sabbath. Here's the point. You can create a great plan, prepare a rhythm. The moment this happens, we got sports this week. We got travels this week. We got all these things going on. Listen, I'm not trying to get you to enter in legalism. I'm just saying you will protect what you value. If I told you on Friday, every Friday, you show up downtown, you got to hang out with me for basically 4 hours, and I'll give you $20,000. You would be like, you know what? Friday night movie. Sorry, Brian. And I know that's an extreme example, but my point is when you value something, if you really believe that God will meet you, refresh your soul, give you energy and life, you will not miss that. Don't beat yourself up if you can't do it every week. I know that things happen. You have activities, family, things happen. But protect and value that rhythm. It's not about legalism. It's about life. As I close out with this, I just want to say this. Exodus 31, verse 17, a few chapters after God gives the practice of Sabbath, this is what it says in Exodus 31:17. It says, The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It'll be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and earth. But notice this, on the seventh day, he rested and he was refreshed. I don't know about you, but that word refresh caught my eye. How could God be refreshed if he doesn't get weary, if he doesn't get exhausted, if he doesn't get fatigued, if he doesn't get tired? And to really understand what this means, you got to go back to the original Hebrew. And you know what that word literally means? It means to breathe in. And so ultimately it says that on the seventh day he rested and he breathed in, or he took breath. Interesting enough, when God creates the world the first 6 days, how does he create it? With his words. He exhales and he creates life. He speaks man into existence from his words. He exhales, but on the seventh day, he breathes in, he celebrates, he delights. Maybe Sabbath is God's invitation for you, where 6 days you are exhaling, you are moving, you are going, but on the seventh day, you learn to inhale and breathe in the presence of God in new ways. You learn to inhale new levels of joy. You breathe in freedom and rest and power. You learn to be with Jesus so that you can become like Jesus. So out of the power of Jesus, you can do what Jesus did. See the difference? That is what fills you up. And maybe you're in this place and God's just prompting you to go deeper and connect with him. And so here's what I'd love to do. We're going to close out and I'm just going to pray. And ultimately, what I want to do is, as we pray right now, if the Holy Spirit is just prompting you and just going, you know what? I want to make you more aware of my love. I want to move it from my head to your heart. What I want you to do is just where you are. This is just between you and God. I just want you to open your hands as a posture of you today receiving his love and maybe even stepping into this covenant, this rhythm of Sabbath. So right where you are. If you just find yourself, because I do believe there's a lot of us in this room, we're going, we're moving, we're thinking about what's going to happen. But for you, you're just going, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit to take me to a deeper level. I just want to pray for you right now in the stillness of this moment that you would step into deeper levels of the love of God. So right where you are, if you would, just open your hands. I want to pray over all of us, but I do want to pray specifically for people who are just saying, Holy Spirit, take me to a deeper place. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you that in the stillness of this moment, you can remind us that it's not about what we do, but it's about who we are. I pray for those of us who are just desiring to go deeper with you, who are desiring for your presence in new and fresh ways, who are ultimately just saying, hey, you know what? I'm tired of living in such a way where I attend church and I do all these things, but spiritually speaking, I find myself dead 10 feet from the church. And it's an invitation to be with you in new and fresh ways and to become like you so that we can live out of the fullness of this. I pray that everybody in this room would today understand that if they are in you, the righteousness, the fullness of your presence resides in them. I pray that would be more than a thought. In fact, the term saint in the Bible is not an ethical term, is an identity term. That is how you see us if we are in you. And I pray that thought would start to transform our lives in such a way that we desire to meet with you. We long to meet with you. Would you increase our appetite for you? So God, I do pray for our whole church that we'd be people who live filled up in your presence and your power and your purposes. In the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Hey, I'm going to close this out real quick because I do want to wrap up. But here's my challenge to you, and then we'll dismiss. It's great to talk about this stuff. But if I could just encourage you, you're going to get busy in the flurry of activities even as we leave. My encouragement, if you're going to lunch today or before the trick-or-treating magic happens, talk with your spouse, your family, create a rhythm, prepare a rhythm. Otherwise, this happens on Sunday. We go about our lives and we miss out this invitation. So my challenge is pick a time, prepare a rhythm, and ultimately find a way that you can protect and value that. Here's what I want to say as well. If you don't know Jesus, and even as we're speaking, something's just going, you know what? I think I got questions, or even as we prayed, if the Holy Spirit just is prompting you for more prayer, we'll be back in that Next Step room. We'd just love to pray for you, answer any questions you have. If you just have questions on how to get connected to the church, the Holy Spirit's prompting you to get connected to a group or use your spiritual gifts to serve somewhere, you can do that as well. But I want to encourage you to do that if God prompts you. Next week, we're finishing up our series, and it's going to be a great week. Gary's going to do something unique. He's going to teach us some of the practices of prayer. They'll be very practical, so make sure you come back next week. Blessings, friends. Have a good one. Happy Halloween. Enjoy it. Blessings.